Well, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host, Paul Trenwith. I've got a great show lined up for you today, a little bit different from normal because I have in the studio with me my great friend Alan Rhodes and his wife Julia Rhodes, and we'll be doing some reminiscing about early days with the Bluegrass Band and some of the music that we've played, and we'll also be talking about Alan's recent illness. He had a stroke and has recovered from it, and I thought you'd be interested in hearing a little bit about that because us musicians realise that times can get tough as you get a little bit older. But anyway, it's great talking to Alan. I'm sure you'll enjoy some of the things that we talk about. But we've got a little bit of showtime to do before we start talking, and I thought I'd play you something from the Lonesome River Band Chronology Volume 3 album, and it's got some wonderful music on this. Brandon Rickman on guitar, Randy Jones on mandolin, Barry Reed on acoustic bass, Sammy Shelaw on banjo, and Mike Hartgrove on fiddle, and they play some excellent music. And we're going to play a tune called Harvest Time. Brandon Rickman singing lead in this, and it's a wonderful song. Let's have a listen.
Made me hunt the ground and lie dead still. Flashing through my mind was Big Homer's reputation. A man who really didn't give a damn. They say he shot a Mountain Joe for just one ear corn now. And he laughed the day they laid him in the ground. But now I can hear the breaking of the sticks from someone's footsteps. But my shaky legs just can't get up and run. And as I lie there breathless, the next thing I expected was a blast of hail from Homer Lawson's gun.
Classic Lonesome River Band there with Harvest Time. One of my favourite singers, Claire Lynch, always was, and she just does a beautiful job of every song that she tries. From the album Dear Sister, I'd like to play a tune called I'll Be Alright Tomorrow. It's an old Osborne Brothers tune. With the Claire Lynch Band, Claire's playing guitar and doing vocals, Brian McDowell on fiddle or mandolin, Matt Wingate on guitar or mandolin, Mark Schatz on upright bass, and they've got Alison Brown playing banjo on this track. I'll Be Alright Tomorrow, Bobby Osborne song, and she does a great job of it.
But I'll be all right.
Ah, the Claire Lynch Band. Didn't you do a great job with that song? Well, as those of you who listen regularly to the show know, I've been in the studio recently with country singer Caroline Jones from the USA, and myself, together with my two boys, Sam Trendworth and Tim Trendworth and Keith McMillan, we've been doing some recording and some rehearsing with Caroline while she's in New Zealand, and we've recorded a couple of Christmas songs. I played one a couple of shows ago, and I'm going to play you the other one now. It's a classic tune called Silver Bells, and we have done it in very bluegrassy type style that I hope you're going to enjoy, because it's getting close to Christmas, isn't it? Caroline's playing some guitar on this and doing a wonderful job with the vocals. Here is Caroline Jones and the Trendworths doing... Here is Caroline Jones and the Trendworths doing Silver Bells.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, needing smile after smile. And on every street corner you silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells.
It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
hear them ring,
hear them ring.
Soon it will be Christmas Day. All right. See the kids bunch, this is Santa's big scene. And above all the bustle you hear, silver bells.
Think of that. What a great time we had recording that. Some excellent harmonies by Sam and Tim Trenworth there to the wonderful lead singing of Caroline Jones. Silver Bells, and it's available on Spotify and I guess most of the other places that you can buy albums. Together with the song Winter Wonderland, we recorded two songs. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host, Paul Trenworth, and I have in the studio with me Alan Rhodes and his wife, Julia. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Paul. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Hello, Julia.
Hello, Paul. Lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's great having you here. Two of my oldest friends, and we've been playing music intermittently together since the mid-1960s.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, it was with I met Alan at high school when I was 15, and he was learning guitar and I was learning banjo, and we thought that maybe we could compare notes, and we've been comparing notes ever since, really.
That's very true, yeah.
Yeah, you had a Hofner guitar, I think, F-hole guitar.
Yeah, beauty, wasn't it, eh?
Yeah.
Terrible tone. It looked really classy. Mm.
And then you bought a Yamaha nylon string. Yeah, that's right.
That was a bit out. Yeah.
Well, then we discovered bluegrass music and realised that you needed steel strings.
Yeah, we wanted to get away from the Peter, Paul and Mary, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right.
Because
that's
why the nylon string one was
around.
Yes,
yeah. And then you got a Maton.
Maton, yeah, redback.
What happened to that?
I don't know, it's gone.
Yeah, they just go.
Lost in space.
Yes, and I got a Framus banjo, and together we tried to work out some of this bluegrass music, which was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
And at the time, I've only realised this in recent years, but we were doing exactly what people all over the world were doing, which was discovering this relatively new music.
Mm.
So as teenagers in the mid-60s, being delighted with Flattened Scruggs and playing the Ballad of Jed Clampett and things like that, that's exactly the way that so many Americans in particular got their start. And so we were just part of a worldwide emerging situation there.
Mid-60s, eh?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Remember, we got records from County Sales.
Mm, yes.
They were in New York at the time.
Yeah. And they had very heavy cardboard sleeves.
Yes, they did, didn't they, in those days? And sometimes they arrived warped after the three-month boat trip. But one of the records that we got was one called Mountain Music Bluegrass Style. Just pass me the cover again, Julia, thanks. Mountain Music Bluegrass Style. And it's got some wonderful music on it. In fact, I've recently played some on the show because I've just got this album again. And it's just great hearing some of the music that we originally listened to. And I thought that to get us into the mood that we'd play a tune called Feast Here Tonight, which is by Bob Baker and the Pike County Boys. It's
That's
an old
one.
Charlie Munro tune. We didn't know that at the time, I don't think. But I remember learning this and trying to work out the banjo, and you had to play guitar and sing lead.
Sing like a dog.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's see if we can get Bob Baker and Pike County Boys to do Feast Here Tonight.
All right, here's another old-timer we like to do for you. We like to do it especially for all the little kids called Rabbit and Low.
Long and angry. that will be mine. Oh, I know, I know, I know. That will get him, I know. Get me a brown eye twisted as hair, and that will get him, I know.
Oh, oh!
Well, did you like hearing that again?
Yeah, it's good. I was just thinking how when we sort of got going in the early days, and I adored the banjo, I adored the mandolin and the guitar, but I wasn't that keen on the fiddle. I noticed it when that guy played the lead just then, and it was loud and it was raucous, and I affiliated it with classical music or something, and I just didn't actually like the sound of it.
Okay.
But now it's a totally different story because we've gone through and we've had fiddle playing with us, and it sounds fantastic.
Bluegrass has got a strange mixture of instruments, and I look at it now and I think, that's a bit sort of odd to have, you know, this rattly fast banjo and then drawn out notes and the rhythm guitar there. It is a strange combination,
but it works. Absolutely.
And it was exciting to play, wasn't it?
Very much so.
It was great. Alan is the musical one, and just about everything that we learnt in those very early days, he had to help me with, and we'd work out the chords for Rabbit and the Log, and until we finally got those right. And about the one thing that I could do was make my right hand go quite fast, and so we'd find out where the notes were on the banjo, and Alan would explain to me which notes they were. And I'd find
the back of it.
It was a bit of a combination, and we made friends with David Calder and then Leonard Cohen, and worked there, and we found bass player, and found Colleen as a fiddle player, and did all sorts of music, and it turned into good sorts of things.
Yeah.
When you look back at those, what you said about the fiddle was really interesting. What kept you playing bluegrass?
Well, it's the excitement of fast stuff, because that's what I really wanted to do. And I know now I like the slower stuff as well, but in the early days it was that fast driving sound that was so good. And
there's not many other musics that go that fast, are there?
No. And the other thing in the early days I wasn't so keen on, telling true stories, is I wasn't that keen on harmonies and vocals, which I know now, obviously, is the most important part of bluegrass music.
Yes.
You know, well, I was more interested in, get the banjo, I want more loud, more banjo.
Yeah.
You know, more mandolin.
Yes.
More guitar, whatever. But vocals and fiddle, I thought, it's all right, but not that keen.
I am now. I always liked the singing. I always sort of... From an early time, I was quite keen on listening to what the song was about and listening to what the words were.
Yeah, and that's where you and I differ.
Yes.
The words don't really worry me so much. It's the actual feel of the song. And it was always the music that I was really keen on.
I always remember that you were very good at, on the occasions when you forgot your words, you still kept singing. And they usually rhymed at the end. And we'd be playing the song, and all of a sudden you'd hear thinking, that's different words. and these words were streaming out of your mouth and rhyming on the end, and had nothing to do with the song whatsoever.
And I was doing it right until recently when we did, a few years ago, when we did WOMED with the Top Twins.
That's right.
And I got dobbed in because the guy that was going to sing a particular verse of Wagon Wheel, he wasn't there, and I'd forgotten he wasn't there. Well, you know, I just didn't realise, and I was dobbed in to sing that verse, and I couldn't get it. It just was a total blank. So a friend came up after, and he said, "Oh, Alan," he said, "I didn't know there was an extra verse in Wagon Wheel."
Well, that's a great ability to have. The fact that you usually used to make it rhyme at the end.
As long as you can rhyme it at the end, it's not so bad.
Well, I analysing some of the early bluegrass, I reckon that was a problem with it, that they didn't take enough care with the words. And I'm sure most of them go back and think, what on earth did we write that stuff for?
Yeah, true.
But it was fun. Well, we got better as a bluegrass band. And one of the bands that was on that Mountain Music bluegrass style was Earl Taylor and the Stony Mountain Boys. And we got an album called Earl Taylor and the Stony Mountain Boys. And there's a very complicated story about that album, which I won't go into now. But in fact, the liner notes had very little to do with what the music that was actually on the album. The band was different and all that sort of stuff. It was just crazy. But it was a very influential album on us, because that was the first place we heard really good three-part harmonies and quite disciplined music. And they did a version of Bury Me Beneath the Willow that we thought that sounds great, and that sounds like the sort of thing that our embryo bluegrass band, the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band, should do. So I'm going to play. This is 1968.
Wow.
So you were 21 years old. I was 21 years old, and we were enthusiastic, and and we were probably wearing our blue shirts and our black hats and trying to emulate our bluegrass stars. Let's have a listen to Bury Me Beneath the Willow. Well, what did you think of that?
It was passable.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was, actually.
We'd really got quite disciplined in what we were doing.
Yeah.
I was doing the baritone harmony straight off Earl Taylor and the Stony Mountain Boys.
Yeah.
And
my voice sounds really high.
Yes.
I don't think I can get out the high now. I don't know. It's quite weird.
It was. Now, sitting over there in the corner trying to look... less prominent. No, I'm not going to say
that. No.
We have Julia, and in 1969, you and Alan married. and the band was full time, and you became an integral part of what Hamilton County was doing.
So we had to actually try and fit in what weekend we were going to get married, because we were so busy. We were doing
a lot of work
every weekend.
Yeah.
I think we tried to set a date in January when we got engaged, and the first free weekend was September.
That's why
Lindsay and Lynn had to get married on the same day.
Yes, that's so we married our bass in Hamilton. Player married. Mm. Yeah,
same
right.
day.
Mm. Yes.
Otherwise, it was wait till the next New Year, and Lindsay wasn't having that.
No. So, what did you think about being married to a bluegrass singer and guitarist?
Well,
he's noisy.
No, it was always good fun. There was always something going on.
Yes.
During most of the year we were engaged, you were away touring.
Yes.
Which wasn't so much fun, but it was an exciting thing to do, I don't think we thought too much about the future. You're just doing what's in the present.
Amazing. We did do lots of playing in 1969 and 70, and then went overseas to Australia with a slightly different band, because David left and Graham Lovejoy joined and Lindsay left and Miles Ray joined, and then we all went to Australia and shared a big house with Tex Morton for a while.
And his dog. Susie.
Gosh, I've forgotten about the dog.
Tex being up all night on his ham radio talking to truckies all over the world.
It was an interesting time. Mm. And then we separated ourselves from Tex, did some work with the Slim Dusty show, which was great, including tours around Australia, which was a lot of fun
that we all really enjoyed.
Julia, of course, as all the women in the show did, worked the front of house.
Yes. With Joy's great aunt or aunt or something.
Auntie Una
selling tickets and Miles's wife and myself taking tickets at the door. We would have been about 21 and looking younger.
Yes.
And we had to be bouncers too.
Yes.
Chuck people out who were noisy. That was a challenge.
What an experience, that's just amazing. And back in Sydney, we did some recording at EMI with a young New Zealand producer called Rod Coe, who actually, after working with us, he became very much part of the long-term workforce around EMI, and he worked for Slim. Mm. He was Slim's producer right till Slim died, and Slim's bass player. And so working with us was a link for him for the next 30 years of his life. That was amazing. But it was great to work with Rod, and we did some great songs, and you were writing some nice songs.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah,
not enough though, eh?
No, never enough.
It wouldn't, it's not the same as these days, you need lots more originals.
Yes.
And that's what people do, and it's good to hear.
I think the fact that we were quite different, that's why Slim liked us, we're a package group that sounded different and were consistent in our sound.
And we said fashion chips.
Fashion chips, yes, they always laughed at our accent, didn't they? Yeah. But that's why. Well, I'm going to play one of the songs that was on the Kersbrook Cottage album. This song's been on the radio show before because I really like it. It's a tune called Old Times. I don't know how long it is since you've heard this tune. Probably a bit of a time.
I've actually been doing it with the girls locally at home.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
We used to have a little Americana group, just the three of us, and we have been doing it.
Very good song. How do you do the old time bit in the middle?
I just chop the mandolin with no chords.
That's a good way to do it. Okay, let's listen to a song written by Alan Rhodes in 1971 and recorded by the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band, and it's called Old Times.
Playing by the back porch doorway, and the old Ford truck in the middle of the driveway, and
And the big old tree as it waves its arms when the wind blows is a-making it all come home to me. Oh, I dream all the time as I'm sucking on this bottle of wine, and it's dreams like this that makes me want to leave all the trouble I've caused in my life so far behind me, and it's a-making it all come home to me. And it's easy to forget as to remember. Oh, how did I forget? Now I remember. My mama used to cook us a country dinner. I'd eat a whole lot and I certainly didn't get no thinner. When the dishes were done, we'd all sit around and pick some of them old-time tunes and the way they used to be done. Oh, where did you get that pretty little dress and the shoes you wear so fine? Oh, tell me, pretty little miss, all the sun ain't gonna shine. I got that dress from a railroad man, shoes from a driver in the mine, and if you don't watch the way you talk, I'm leaving you behind. And it's easy to forget as to remember. Oh, how did I forget? Now I remember.
Well, what did you think of that?
Oh, well.
It's a great tune.
Yeah, it's nice.
I really like that tune.
Thank you.
It's a lot of good fun.
Mm.
And, okay, so that was 1972, that we recorded that, to be honest.
Yeah.
And we all came back and we all settled down and all had kids and we all did those things that we did. And life carried on as it does.
Yeah, but you went on and did a lot more.
Colleen and I went back to Australia after a year here and did 3 years with Slim.
Yeah.
And then we came back to New Zealand and we did the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And we were doing some gospel music time too. And with our gospel recordings, you came and played guitar and did some harmony singing on those too.
Mm.
Then we had a band reunion and decided that maybe we could put it all together again. And that was good
fun.
Was
that 95?
1992, I think, that the band reunion was. Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Yeah, it was 25 years or something.
Right.
Like that. Sweet. And so the first album that came out after that was Encore.
Right.
Which we recorded in 1997. I think, or thereabouts.
Yeah.
That's where Jeremy was playing bass
for us.
Yeah. David Calder on mandolin, and you on guitar, and me playing banjo, Colleen on fiddle.
Yeah.
And you were still doing some good songwriting.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You got a great feel with the songs.
Yeah.
You're a potter by trade and work with your hands and live in the bush and, you know, you should be featured on
Away from Everyone.
Where the Wild Men Are, you know, those sort of TV programs, you know, they ought to feature you one day.
Yeah.
Something like that. But you've always kept playing music and writing songs.
Yeah.
So I guess this song came out of that.
Yeah, you can't get away from the music side of it. It's such a good music, bluegrass. It's just, it's good feel to it, you know. It's good to be able to write some songs and, even if they don't make any sense
they usually do make sense. I remember when you put forward the song, you know, to do as a band, we thought, oh, that's a good sound, we can do that. And we just had a different vibe, as you would expect from older people, you know, 50-year-olds write different songs from 20-year-olds.
That's right.
So let's play the song from the Encore album on Kiwi Pacific, Hamilton County Bluegrass Band, and it's a tune written by Alan called Home Sweet Home, and it sounds like this.
Listen to the bellbird sing, telling me I'm home again. The laughter as the children play, my eyes are taking in this bright new day. I should have called to say I'm coming home, that I was tired of being on my own. So many years I dreamed about this day, and now I'm here to stay. Home sweet home, with my love and family all around. To hear your voice is just the sweetest sound. Home sweet home, there's something special in the air today. That lonely feeling has just blown away. Your smiling face, our children out to play. Home sweet home. To give it up each passing day. The longest days I spend upon the road, the shortest days were when I got back home. But still you didn't seem to mind at all, a singer's widow in an empty hall. That endless highway's just a memory. Today I'm home where I want to be. Home sweet home, with my love and family all around. To hear your voice is just the sweetest sound. Home sweet home, there's something special in the air today. That lonely feeling has just blown away. Your smiling face, our children out to play. Home sweet home. Just the sweetest sound. Home sweet home. Home sweet home. With my love and family all around. To hear your voice is just the sweetest sound. Home sweet home. Home sweet home. Your voice is just the sweetest sound. Home sweet home. Thank you.
Well, that's a great song, and always enjoy listening to that one. A little different from our Hamilton County regular bluegrassy type songs.
Yeah, that's what I said before. You know, in the early days, I just wanted to go flat tack.
Yeah.
And lots of noise and lots of banjo and that. But yeah, it's nice. It was more of a melodic, softer sound, which is.
And I suspect that my son Jeremy had a hand in arranging that because he came from a different viewpoint of songs and liked to think of different things in arranging. And he was about the age when we did this. He was about the age that we were when we started playing bluegrass music, you know. So full of ideas and enthusiasm for different ideas, and which later, when he worked with on the These Old Hands album with your son Dave, it was good. They worked together. Anyway, go on.
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, you were just practicing getting your mouth working. Yeah. Now, jumping forward to the present time, one of the, as well as really wanting an opportunity to talk to you, in recent days, in fact, I forget how long ago it was, about 2 months ago, you had a stroke.
I did.
Which turned out to be a mild stroke by most people's terms, but it's still very
scary.
Very scary. And I suspect that there's a lot of people listening to the show that are of the age when a stroke may happen. And I know
in happened.
I know in New Zealand, it's I think it's one of the most common incidents that befalls older people. And yet you're sitting here and chatting away and doing that. Yeah. So you're a really positive story to come out of having a stroke. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, well, it came out of the blue. It wasn't. I looked after my health. I tried to take supplements, make sure I was healthy. I'd had a blood test about 3 months before I had the stroke, and everything came out good. Everything was happy. And I talked to the doctor after I'd had the stroke, about 3 or 4 days after, and they said, well, you know, it doesn't matter how you look after yourself. Some people are just unlucky, and they may get struck with it. So, but don't be scared. Don't worry about it, because it's just it could happen to anyone, but may not. But yeah, so I took it. I actually improved. I couldn't lift my right leg, and I couldn't lift my right arm when I first got into the hospital. And then after about a week, it was all starting to come right. My arm came up, and the leg could happen. And what I've got left with is basically a leaden foot. It's not like the other feet foot.
Yes.
the other feet I've got. So it's because the brain is that with my left leg, I don't have to think about lifting it, but the right one, it's a bit of thought to go into it, and if I don't want to trip over, basically.
Right. Okay.
But I'm okay with in everything else.
Yeah.
And,
it didn't affect your speech or
face. It didn't,
you're still ugly.
No, I was so. Yeah, I know. I was really extremely lucky, because I was in the hospital and I saw some people in there, and I thought, man, they've got a long way to go. You know? And I was so lucky. I could actually get out, and I was out in 3 weeks. And,
wow.
But they did say that this leaden foot will probably be before it heals itself fully, probably a year or two.
Do you post-stroke, do you take any medicines?
Oh, yes. You've got to have blood thinners and... Yeah, I belong to the geriatrics now.
Yes,
yeah, I'm an official one.
How old are you officially, Alan? Yeah, same as me. You're 73. Yeah. Okay. So it is
good
something
age.
That happens to
well,
a lot
yeah,
of people.
It can do. Yeah, and as I say, I looked after my health, but I came out of left field.
It's
all
right. I'm very fortunate that it happened when you were with friends and in an area close to a hospital.
That's right. It took to get the clot buster drug into you, which is what they did first.
What do they call it?
A clot buster.
And a clot buster.
That's
a good name for an instrumental.
Now we're on to while we're on to this is a health program now.
Oh, okay. Right.
So you've got two types of clots. You've got the ones on the side of the brain and one on the top. And I had the one on the top which is the less severe one, I believe. Mm. And so it's very treatable. And as soon as they knock the clot, I improve very, very quickly. For about 3 weeks, you know, I'm sort of feel almost back to normal. But as I say, it's going to take another year or two before the actual leg comes back to normal.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, it's amazing. Yeah. Alan came to my Back Porch Bluegrass jam session just yesterday, and it was great to see him there. Mm. In fact, I made him get up and sing a song.
I know.
Yeah,
that's right. It hasn't upset the voice at all.
No,
that's one thing I can still.
It's great.
Yeah, sing a bit.
Mm. Yeah, so it's sort of it's good news. I thought most musicians, you know, you tend to think ahead and get very nervous about what is about to befall you, and it's great that you've managed to survive that, and it's a positive story.
Yeah, and that's it for now. We're not having any more of this.
You're not gonna
we've had enough of this.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, it's been great having you on the show. About 3 years ago, we recorded an album that was engineered by your son Dave Rhodes, who's just opened a new studio in Whittyanga. What's it called?
He's wrapped. It's Dave Rhodes Productions in Park Lane.
Park Lane.
I know.
You've got to be joking.
No, it's in Park Lane. I think it's so funny. Yeah, he's really well set up. I gave him a hand, which is I'm blaming him for the stroke, because he got me working on his studio for about 2 months, and pretty full on.
Yeah,
and so I blamed him for the fact
he might give you some free recording time.
Oh, he said he would do that.
Or probably at a discount anyway. Yeah,
but I'm very happy for him. He's well set up, and he's got state of the art gear.
That's great. Dave engineered the album, and my son Jeremy was a musical producer, and he and Dave worked great together. Yeah. They just sat there and told us old blokes what to do, and given a bit of advice from people like Tim and Pam. And Keith, in the band, and we just did as we were told.
Yep.
But my son Sam wrote a great song about the way that you've made a living with your hands.
Yeah, because I'm a potter.
Yes.
And I also, what do I do?
Play music. Play music.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And there's something else. I can't think.
Yeah,
but
drink red wine.
Oh, and drink. Yeah, got to. So there's three things that the hands have to do. So
lift the wine.
Yeah, and I can use both hands too.
You can drink wine with either hand, can you? Well, that's good. That's good. So I'd like to finish up our interview. So thank you very much, Julia, for coming in and bringing Alan in. Thank you, Alan,
for
coming in.
She can wheel me out.
And you'll have to have a nap this afternoon. And I probably will after this.
It's a pleasure being here.
Okay, let's see if we can come up with the song These Old Hands, written by Sam Trenwith and sung by Alan Rhodes of the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band.
These old hands have taken the long way home. The open road is the only way I know. So pour a glass and won't you sit a while, and I'll tell you why I'm singing about these old hands. When I was young, the song became my friend. I'd sing away from daybreak to end. Songs of love and songs of yesterday, these memories are here to stay. Then I met her at a Friday evening show. Most beautiful sight to behold. I still remember the look she gave and the vow we made as she held the These old hands have broken a rule or two. I moved out of the city and started new. I love the feel of grass between my toes. my hands compose a melody. That love ain't just for two. I sit and play guitar, my family grew. My heart is big enough to love them all, but I'll carry you forever in these old hands. So raise your glass with me as I sing to you. Of all good things, it's what I love to do. I shape the earth and I play a tune, and I think about being next to you. Like to take the long way home. The open road is the only way I know. Well, I've seen the world and I've found my love, and I've done it all. I've done it all with these old
I hope you enjoyed that reminiscing that Alan and Julia and I were doing there. You've been listening to Back Porch Bluegrass, and Alan always said that he liked the fast banjo tunes in those early days, and we're going to finish up with one that I recorded with him back in about 1969, and Alan always loved to play this. It's a tune called Rosewood Ramble. I'm picking banjo here, and I'm sure Alan helped me write this tune. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you later. Bye.